Jonathan Edwards Nelson Neville. Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Jonathan Edwards was an early preacher in Joseph Smith's day, kind of like our modern Billy Graham. In our next conversation with Jonathan Neville, Jonathan Edwards is going to be a big topic, and I'm going to get those two Jonathans mixed up a lot, I have a feeling. So anyway, Jonathan Neville makes the claim that some of Jonathan Edwards' theology ends up in the Book of Mormon. So that's going to be a very interesting conversation. You won't want to miss it. Check it out.
So in my interpretation of all this, and I went through the non-biblical language, I made a list of all the non-biblical words and phrases. I have something like 1,400 non-biblical Book of Mormon phrases. And almost all of them, upwards of 90%, you can find right in the writings of Jonathan Edwards. And some of them are phrases like a continual scene of wickedness.
Who was Jonathan Edwards, really quick?
Okay, Jonathan Edwards was the preeminent theologian in America. He lived from, I think, 1705 to 1753, something like that. But he was
the Billy Graham of his day.
Is what?
He was the Billy Graham of his day.
Yeah, he was part of the First Awakening, for sure.
Okay.
Him and there were two or three of them. A guy came from England. I don't want to digress too much, but he was a contemporary of Benjamin Franklin, for example. And they, even though they never met, they kind of had opposing worldviews. And Edwards was, he became the president of Princeton University, but he spent several years as a missionary to the Indians in western Massachusetts. And while he was there, he wrote his basic doctrinal books that are pretty well known. In fact, I have lots of material on Edwards, but I wrote a whole book about this. And just like with the Benjamin Winchester, the book I published, my publisher said, you can't have it too big, so I limited it to so much. But I have voluminous material to show, and it's really striking. It's amazing. It's really exciting to me. And the examples I give is, if you read the Book of Mormon, it talks about the Book of Moses, right? But it never explains the Book of Moses. You have to have the Bible to understand what the Book of Mormon is talking about. In the Book of Mormon, it talks about natural man as an enemy to God. That's not a biblical phrase. There's a place in the Bible that talks about a natural man, and another one talks about enemy of God, but nowhere does it say a natural man is an enemy to God. But Edwards did an entire sermon on specifically that, how natural men are God's enemies. And if you read Edwards' sermon, then King Benjamin's address makes perfect sense. But because we didn't look at Jonathan Edwards, this phrase from Mosiah, natural man is an enemy to God, is in the top 10 all-time quoted Book of Mormon phrases in General Conference. There's been books and articles written trying to speculate about what it means. And I don't want to say it's nonsense. It's all profound, inspirational. But it's not accurate because they don't know what Joseph Smith was alluding to when he wrote that, when he translated whatever King Benjamin said. When he translated it, he put it into Jonathan Edwards' terminology. And at that time, people familiar with Jonathan Edwards knew exactly what he was talking about. And if you look at it, King Benjamin doesn't explain how the natural man is an enemy of God. He explains how you overcome it. And Edwards wrote a lot about how the natural man is an enemy to God, but he didn't give a good explanation of how to overcome it. So you need Edwards, the Bible, and the Book of Mormon together, all three together. And then it's unbelievably beautiful and profound doctrine. I mean, it has just opened up the Book of Mormon like a whole new thing to me. And even now when I hear someone in General Conference or in church quotes a Book of Mormon phrase, I think, oh yeah, I know, Edwards wrote that and here's how it works out. I mean, it's I'm telling you, it's a total mind-blowing experience almost, just to see it this way. And I analogize that if you're someone in China and you read the Book of Mormon, and you don't know whether they're talking about King Josiah or, you know, the Jews, the Law of Moses. You have no idea what it is. And then you read the Bible and you go, oh, that's what that means. That's how this is. When you read the Book of Mormon and then you read Jonathan Edwards, you go, oh, that's what that refers to. So that's why when I read the Book of Mormon about chariots or steel or horses or whatever, that's Joseph Smith's interpretation of whatever the original record said. And I just like I don't believe that King Benjamin in his Nephite language, whatever it was, because they had multiple languages, whatever his language was, I don't think he literally said natural man is an enemy to God. But whatever he said, Joseph Smith transliterated into Jonathan Edwards terminology. And then it makes beautiful sense. And that's why it resonates with people. And that's why I think the Book of Mormon, for me, the exciting thing about this is the Book of Mormon fits right within the Christian tradition. And it's the fulfillment of what Jonathan Edwards was hoping and seeking for himself. In fact, I have a whole chapter in my book about how Edwards talked about America being preserved for the restoration of the gospel in the latter days. And that's all in there. And I think Joseph Smith was, the reason he had the leg surgery was the Lord had to prepare him to become the translator and the prophet. And just like, you know, President Oaks talked about how all the prophets are prepared for their role. He said, I'm amazed how President Nelson was prepared for his current role, right? Why would it be any different for Joseph Smith? I don't think it was. I think the Lord prepared Joseph Smith, starting with that leg surgery, to be the prophet of the restoration by having him read Jonathan Edwards and other works. It wasn't just Jonathan Edwards, but that was the primary one. Edwards' works were on sale at the bookstore in Palmyra that Joseph used to go to every day or once a week to get the newspaper for his father. And the guy working there said that he was a inquisitive lounger, some words to that effect, that he was always hanging around the bookstore. So he was there right with this. Joseph, in his own history, said he had an intimate acquaintance with those of different denominations. And yet he also said he never talked to the ministers. So what was he talking about? What intimate acquaintance would he have if it wasn't the writings of these Christians in different denominations? So, I mean, you're right, this would be a whole other interview. But I think it's tantalizing and it's fascinating because the Edwards stuff fits in with the Book of Mormon geography.
See, this almost sounds, instead of a Solomon Spaulding, it sounds like the Jonathan Edwards theory.
Yeah, in a way it is. Except I think it was just part of his vocabulary. It's how he talked and thought. And people have commented on how he had what we call a photographic memory, because he remembered everything. And someone estimated he gave 200 sermons without any prepared notes, you know, and he was always quoting the scriptures. When Moroni showed up, he knew that Moroni was misquoting the scriptures, right? Because he said he quoted it different than it is in our Bible. Yeah. If he didn't know what the scripture was, he wouldn't have known it was different, right? Mm-hmm. And some of his contemporaries said Joseph knew those Old Testament prophecies really well. He was an exhorter. I mean, he knew the scriptures. When he told his mother he could learn more from 2 hours with the Bible out in the woods than going to church, he knew his scriptures really well. And he knew Edwards and the other preachers. So to me, it's an exciting way to look at it, because I see Joseph Smith prepared from a young age to be a prophet, just like we say of all the other prophets. He actually translated the Book of Mormon in his own language, like he said he did, after the manner of his language. The Book of Mormon tells an actual history of the people who lived in that area, ending up in Western New York, but also in Ohio, as Joseph recognized. And the Mound Builder myth was based on the actual facts that the Book of Mormon tells. So it's, in a way, it's looking at it archaeologically. You know, you have striations of things. You have the Book of Mormon at the bottom, the Mound Builder myth on top, and then Joseph's translation on top of that. It wasn't the Mound Builder myth and Joseph Smith on top. And when you look at it that way, all this evidence that Dan Vogel and these guys talk, Tom Murphy, they talk about, it fits, because the mythology was based on the reality, and the Book of Mormon relates to reality. That's why I think it's exciting. That's a long-winded answer to your questions. But you can tell, I mean, to me, it's not only obvious, but it's really profound. And it's really invigorating. Mm-hmm. It's a whole new avenue for research, too. I've heard these Mazel guys say, now we have a lot more research we can get grants for and stay in Full Employment Act and all that stuff. Well, you can do that with the Jonathan Edwards material now. Because I'd be happy to have other people get into it so I don't have to keep doing it. You know? I mean, I'm totally happy doing it. I love doing it. And I have thousands. I have thousands of pages of material on this.
Well, I just know, especially with the Adam Clark stuff and then Joseph Smith translation, that'll cause some people to question.
Yeah.
And so I think Jonathan Edwards. So it's interesting that you find it inspiring, but I think some other people would find it problematic.
What did Moroni tell Joseph Smith the first time he met him? Your name is going to be had for good and evil, right? And that's the nature of evidence. Whether it's you're talking about COVID vaccines or global warming, no matter what the topic is, there's a set of facts and there's multiple working hypotheses. And so the Jonathan Edwards, to me, is just, it's a fact. You have to deal with it. I mean, it's obvious. And I agree with Skousen and Carmack that their stuff is a fact. That, you know, the which pronoun versus who versus that kind of stuff, those are facts you have to deal with. To me, they're easy to deal with. And not to rely on this
metaphysical... Or the Brent Metcalf, wherefore, therefore.
Yeah, that one too. But this idea of this metaphysical teleprompter that Joseph had, a rock, come on, you know. To me, that is a non-starter because it undermines the entire narrative of the Book of Mormon as well as what Joseph and Oliver said.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with a Heartland expert, Jonathan Neville. In our next conversation, I was surprised to find out that Jonathan is fine with non-literal believers in the Book of Mormon.
But what I don't want to have happen, and it's happened, I could give you plenty of anecdotes of this, I don't want people abandoning the ship Zion because they lose faith either in the Mesoamerican or the abstract map that Tyler Griffin's teaching. And kids do. They look at that and they say the Mesoamerican doesn't make any sense. And the prophets taught this anyway, so why are we saying they were wrong? And related to that is the translation. You know, if people want to believe it...
So you'd be totally fine with somebody that said the Book of Mormon's ahistorical, sure. But I love the spiritual message.
That's right. That's fine with me.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents for just $5 a month. Patreon is spelled patreon.com/gospeltangents. If you'd like to watch the entire video, you can subscribe at YouTube, Patreon, or on my website at gospeltangents.com and click the yellow subscribe button for just $8 a month. PDF transcripts are just $10 a month, and you can get those on patreon.com/gospeltangents or on my website. I'll send those to you as soon as I've finished completing it. If you'd like to get a paperback and PDF, just subscribe for $20 a month at either Patreon or on my website. Individual paperbacks are available at Amazon.com. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can find all of our past interviews there. Share your Gospel Tangents pride by purchasing a t-shirt on our website at gospeltangents.com/shop. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. You can get our latest updates by friending me at Facebook, or you can also follow our page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Become an insider and you can see the newest videos. Follow us on Twitter at Gospel Tangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some of our great videos. Thanks again.